Don't be complacent. Ask why, always ask how. We don't accept just because we're taught that that's the way it is.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. We are continuing coverage of the North Carolina Student Conclave, the first North Carolina Student Conclave, and joined with, one of my teammates on the Oxford debate, and Wonder Woman.
Yep.
So introduce yourself, your real name, not your your super alias.
I'm Melissa Scales. I teach at Elon University and
part-time Wonder Woman.
And part-time Wonder Woman, definitely. Wonder Woman, Wonder Mom, yeah. Wonder Therapist,
and
professor.
Then my fellow Duke in the Oxford debate, Corey.
Yeah, Corey Simon, Duke University, teaching the DPT program, do some research in pain and aging. Yeah.
And we got
crushed, man.
We got crushed. All right, so we'll do a post-game. I mean, credit where credit is due. I'll be honest, that was a tough room.
Yeah, it was. It was so much fun, though.
It was fun.
So much fun. You brought it. Y'all really brought it. With Sharon Dunn, the president of the APTA, really brought that.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm very comfortable doing this right now, talking. When you looked to my left, and I saw you, and I saw the other guys, I saw Zach Long, I saw Dr. Hoder, and there was fire in your eyes. It's no longer a fun, you know, in the hallway when I met you guys, it was, hey, good to meet you guys, looking forward to a nice friendly debate, and then like the bell rang and it was like fangs.
Well, when you put those wrist cuffs on, I mean, it just brings it. You just bring it when you got your wrist cuffs and your band on.
We'll make sure people know. We'll just give a quick background for the people who weren't there, obviously. You came out dressed as Wonder Woman.
I did.
For the Oxford debate, and you were arguing on the side of specialization.
Correct. I personally am a pediatric specialist. I really think that my profession has grown so much since getting a pediatric specialization.
Yeah. But
it's been fun, and it was fun doing a debate.
Yeah, the debate, it was fun. I bet you it was a little more fun winning the debate. I don't know,
yeah.
Corey, you and me.
It felt good at some times, but not overall.
Not overall, no. Yeah. So we came out, you decked us out in Duke baseball hats and jerseys, and we had eye black and gloves and bats and balls.
Yeah, you know, and Jimmy, it's funny, we actually never told them why we were dressed that way. Did you realize that?
I literally just thought of that. Yeah, it's about an hour
and a half. So we'll tell them what's out. So basically, we were saying that we cover all the bases, and we're also five-tool players.
Five tools.
So we can do more than a one-tool player can.
Maybe we lost because we didn't actually mention why we were dressed like baseball players.
You know what? I think we would have won.
That could be it.
That and the fact that, honestly, it was hard because, you know, Melissa and Zach and Jeff all come from specialties that it's hard to argue against.
Right.
You need that specialization, right? I think where we came into the issue was a vast majority of where most students are going to see out of a school probably can be done with a generalist, but we have to know when to refer, and that got brought up multiple times.
Definitely. Well, the one thing we talked about afterwards and before when we were preparing for this debate, if this debate was about whether or not students getting out of school should be a specialist right away or if they should get an amazing generalist education, that would have been a very different debate.
Right.
But we really said, you know, we're talking about where the profession is going, and we wanted to push that issue. Y'all were pretty intense, and we had so much fun.
Yeah. We played some sound effects. We walked. We had walk-up music.
Yeah, I mean, we were DJ Khaled, man.
All I do is win.
I thought we looked cool. Maybe we don't look cool anymore, Jimmy. I don't know. Maybe it's an age thing.
Past our prime, man. So now the debate's over. You guys, you know, the specialist won. You know, you kind of just laid out pretty much similar to what I thought too. Is I have no problem at all with specialization as long as it's as long as you have that foundation of being a PT. I won't even say a generalist. Be a physical therapist. That's what a generalist is. Is to me. But Corey, you also brought up some good points in terms of the medical model and why that we can look to that and say, hey, what if payment or things start to go that way? So talk about that just briefly.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, that's my nerdy research hat went on, and it doesn't win Oxford debates, I found.
It doesn't.
So no.
Clearly.
You know, looking at medical models and realizing that no, we are not like physicians, but we have somebody who came before us who tried that, and their model is kind of out of control. So we have something to kind of learn from, and I'm afraid we're not always learning from it.
That's what history, right?
Right.
Those who don't pay attention to history do repeat it.
Corey, you made a really good point. You made a really good point about the medical model and that we do end up charging too much and spending too much when we focus too much on our specialty. And we as physical therapists need to remember that just because it's our specialization, we might need to know when to refer out, right, or when to stop doing those tests, or when to not keep beating that dead horse. So that's what we as physical therapists, we have the benefit to see that medical model might not work necessarily, and that we learn from that.
Well, you know, except for, and I think it was funny that this came up out of this, and I wish Dr. Hoder was here, but Jeff brought up it. I said this to Melissa, made a great point. When he was talking about the interdisciplinary model for movement disorders, where they bring in specialists from all different professions, but also different, even, you know, you're a specialist in neuro, you're a specialist in vestibular, and then you all work for that patient's, you know, the health and well-being of that patient. That's probably the way we need to go, that it's not just one specialist's job.
Right.
And I also think that we need to consider that there are certain things that, you know, a lot of these sections and specialties and credentials were built long ago. And so maybe we have to rethink them. You know, maybe we have to build, you know, everybody's talking about, and Dr. Hoder brought this up a few times, Jeff, pain science, everyone wants to make that. And I refuse to make it a specialty because I think we all have it. I think we all should learn about it.
Nobody can own, I think you said
right,
that well. Nobody
can own pain. You can't own pain. You can't own physical function. You can't own movement adaptation. So maybe we build things around movement disorders. Maybe we build something around persistent pain, but that's a different specialty than we have right now.
How many are there right now? How many just sections? Not even specialties.
Oh, I don't know.
18? 19?
Everybody's on the podcast is going to go, you don't know these things?
I know, should have known
a
that.
A lot. There's a
is there an
self.
Animal rehab one yet? Because I think that's coming,
that's
right?
That's got to be, or is that a SIG?
I think.
Yeah. SIG somewhere, probably. Yeah, I guess everybody's probably yelling at their radio going, how come you don't know this?
But I think we make the best point of saying we need this interdisciplinary, we need to be great team members, and we need to start early with our students to really make great team members, to know. So I can say that when I went to school, there was a woman who knew the most about pelvic health because she had gone to these courses, and I referred to her when I worked with a child with cystic fibrosis who has issues with incontinence. But I know that as a pediatric therapist, I can't know everything, so I need to refer out, and
can't
I need to
it.
Have great team members.
I heard a long time ago in terms of when should you know yourself and their limitations,
exactly.
Be an advocate for your patient first.
Exactly.
Not for you or your profession or especially. Be an advocate for your patient and say, you know what? You're going to get better results with this person over here. Maybe it's another physical therapist. Maybe it's a different healthcare provider.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And that is a very important. You brought up a few times during the debate is the rural PT.
Yeah.
And one thing I probably crash and burn in saying, but it was about we've pushed ourselves to be direct access and primary, and now we're saying we often be specialized. We need to figure that out for our patient because they're out there wondering, who do I see, right? And sometimes in a rural situation, they don't have a choice. So we have to in some way alleviate the access issue that the patients see, that they know if it is a specialty issue, great. They go there, but they know what to do. They're not left thinking, well, I went to the wrong specialty.
Right.
Well, and we didn't even talk about the future of telehealth and telemedicine.
Yeah.
Which then might give us those access to specialists, but
sure.
Fortunately, we need those good generalists who know how to guide our patients out.
And we did have a telehealth presentation early in the morning with Becky Bliss from Wingate University. She Skyped in. Overall, first, you know, kind of state student conclave, what were your impressions? You know, I mean, you jumped in a little bit late, but that's kind of fun.
I thought it was a rousing success. I want to, you know, thank not only the moderators, but the student administrators that put this thing on.
Jennifer.
I mean, I was putting the chairs back at the end. I knew how much of it, and that was all I did, but really did a great job. I think it was great for our profession to get people involved. The students early on understand advocacy. That's never a lose. That's always a win.
Right.
So, and you know what? And I think they also need to see at the end of an Oxford debate, even though I don't know how much they got at the beginning, that at the end, we're all friends, and
right.
It's really to push
pictures.
The profession forward.
Sure. I mean, like, you're standing in a room, and we're yelling back and forth. Like, first of all, if you're yelling about something, it means you're passionate. Like,
exactly.
It means you really, really care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you disagree with someone, vehemently disagree with them, you have to kind of say, I dig the fact that you're so fired up about that, right?
And that's what I love about physical therapy. That we can be so passionate and yet we can have so much fun with what we know and what we're passionate about. And I love that my students, we brought so many of my students out today and that they're sitting outside at this pub night and they're talking to other students from other programs and it's just really wonderful to see some camaraderie and to talk with each other about what they're doing and what they're learning because that's important.
It's fun.
Because ultimately we're all colleagues.
Yeah, that was impressed upon me in PT school is, you know, even if you're first year, in 2 years, you're going to be my colleague. So I'm just going to start treating you like a colleague now, even though you're, you know, I'm using air quotes, just a first year.
Right.
You're going to be my, you're in this profession. At the second you touch a patient, even if you have a CI looking over your shoulder, you're in the field. You're in the profession. So I like that. Want to thank our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. They support the show. They find PTs jobs all across the country and any setting, and the answer is always yes, Hawaii, Alaska, Colorado, all those cool places. You did Western New York. That's where you did your undergrad?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Western New York originally.
Where in Western New York?
Buffalo, New York. Alden, New York, a small town outside near Lancaster. Nobody knows where it is.
I've heard of it, because I went to St. Bonaventure. I've heard of that.
Yeah, Jimmy and I have crossed paths a little bit. We're both kind of New Yorkers.
716.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you three questions, both of you guys. Where's somewhere in the U.S. that you haven't been a PT, but you'd go for like 13 weeks? You'd be like, yeah, that's where I'd want to go hang out and be a PT for 13 weeks.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's La Jolla. It's like going out west. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I love when we have San Diego CSM.
That's not a tough sell.
There's no question.
Where would you want to go? 13 weeks,
so,
anywhere.
I met my husband in New Mexico in Albuquerque, and I will totally tell you that when you look on the specializations, there are 2 pediatric specialists in the entire state of New Mexico and 5 neuro specialists in the entire state.
Really?
So one, I would love to go back out there because I just love New Mexico and it's beautiful and wonderful.
Yeah, but you need to go because I got.
I mean, I see.
Yeah, that's your calling.
Well, and then you can snowboard. My husband is a wonderful man for moving out to North Carolina with me, but we stayed. So
how many really great generalists do they have
How
many great generalists do they have in New Mexico? Probably a lot.
They probably have an amazing group of generalists.
Second question. We'll stay with you. What's something you read recently that really inspired you?
There's a really interesting, I've gotten into graphic novels lately, which is random because I read so many journal articles for work, but there's a graphic novel called Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too.
Okay.
It's by Jomny Sun, and it's people use it for coloring books, which is funny, but it's a kind of a philosophical Tao of Pooh kind of book. It's just really interesting. It makes you think about life and what life looks like from the outside.
I love that. No one's ever said a graphic novel. Way to bring that up. I love that. I love the weird.
I was Wonder Woman, so you know.
Yeah, you got to be everywhere. What do you think? Something that inspired you.
Recently, Adam Grant, he wrote a book called Original. So he's the youngest tenured professor at the Wharton College of Penn. And he wrote, it's all about nonconformity. It's, you know, in this day and age, especially, and you know, I think Melissa may attest to this, I have trouble sometimes figuring out what younger generation thinks because it's all about being in the limelight and they're better at it than we are, and obviously by my performance today. What it's amazing though is that there can sometimes be this air of conformity. I have to be like everybody else, and it really does talk about you need to non-conform. Those are the ones that succeed in life. Be yourself, be original. And that crosses so many things. It's not just PT. It's being
business
a person. It's business.
Or personal relationships or patient really anything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who is someone the audience should know more about but doesn't?
You know, I brought him up today, and it's kind of a cheap plug because he was my PhD advisor, but Stephen George, he did a Mailey lecture 2 years ago at Next, and he really is, in my opinion, the foremost authority in physical therapy and pain science. The man is really published more in pain journals than any PT. He's an amazing mind. And he has helped me to understand kind of the bigger picture. And I think sometimes, as much as we do well in PT, sometimes we love our fishbowl. We love to stay PT famous, right? And he's kind of forced me to say, what is the bigger picture? Are we helping our patients? How are we going to help research to translate practice? They need to go look him up. They got to look up some of these pain. Julie Fritz is another one that is just amazing at it. I think we need to do a better job as academicians letting them know who these individuals are.
Can I tell you a funny story about Steve George?
Yeah.
So gave the Mailey lecture and I wanted to get him on the show. So Steve agreed. I think I had just graduated. So some new grad said, I have a podcast. Would you come on it? Said yes. I was recording the shows in my bedroom at the time. I just graduated, still in my apartment from PT school. And I would prop my laptop and use Skype. I would prop it up on my dresser so I could kind of use it as a standing desk. And I had just done laundry. And I had the middle drawer out. And I poured a beer while Steve George had picked up Skype. And it fizzed all over the place. And it poured itself directly into my drawer full of, like, clean T-shirts. But Steve George is on the other line. So I'm, like, trying to, like, sop it up with a T-shirt and keep eye contact because he could see me through Skype. And I'm like, hey, thanks very much for your time. We'll get underway in a second. I'm trying to remain cool, but I'm sure I'm like, my face is giving me away.
No, but you know what? It's funny. He probably loved that. I mean, he's a West Virginia ball cap kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's very, you know, just low key. And so, yeah, he would love the Pinecast. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think there's many people in our profession, and I think Melissa can speak to pediatric specialists too. We have one in our faculty in Laura Case. there's a lot. There's just so many people they can know that I just don't think that the ones they know are often about Con Ed or the ones that market themselves the best. Right. And that isn't always the ones that are going to change practice.
Right. Who's your person in the audience you know more about?
So Jenny Blagett Burgett. So she is the librarian, the head librarian for the APTA. She's one of those very quiet people, unsung heroes, who does a course, Ask the Librarian, at CSM and at Next every year. And she is a great lady. So I say every year, the last 2 years she's been doing it. And she's just one of those great resources that we say that nobody takes advantage of, or not enough people take advantage of. So she's a really cool lady. You can call her up. You can learn how to research, how to find and use databases. And so she's one of those people that, as a professional, we just need to know that we have these resources as professionals.
What sort of things can people utilize her for? Give us an example.
So you can call her up with your question, and she can help you form your PICO question if you're out of school long enough. She can help you figure out how to use an actual database, a PubMed search. And she can help you make a search and make a meaningful search as a clinician, as a student, as a faculty member.
So maybe we're highlighting a very unsung benefit of the American Physical Therapy Association.
Exactly. Hmm. So, yeah, it's not just about the magazine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I did a talk with Sharon Dunn, who we called in.
Yeah, we did.
We called in on speakerphone. I thought she was our ace in the hole, man.
I still think she was our ace in the hole. That's one of those things that, like, 2 years from now, they're like, man, Sharon Dunn called in.
Sharon Dunn
So we'll drop the mic in 2 years, Jimmy.
Yeah. But where was I going with that? Oh, I did a talk with Sharon Dunn about the value of the APTA membership, and I brought up, I kind of tried to parallel with it, an Amazon Prime membership. I said, listen, who here has Amazon Prime? Everybody raise their hand. Who here is an APTA member? Everybody raise their hand. I said, if I doubled the price of Amazon Prime, how many of you would give it up? And everybody's like, you could pry it out of my cold, dead hands. Well, if I doubled the price of APTA membership, would you give it up? People were like, and remember, Sharon Dunn's standing next to me. And they're like, well, no, of course, maybe, I don't know, that's a lot. But it's a value proposition. So what you just mentioned about the librarian, people don't know. Like, they know the free shipping. They know the, you know, free music and free videos. But there's a lot of things about the Amazon Prime membership that you don't know about. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of things about APTA membership you don't know about. And if you use them, you would recognize it is more valuable than you think. So that's why you should do it.
At my University of Buffalo, where I went to school, it was preached upon us. And I think we're lucky that pretty much most schools really endorse that you need, yes, you have to be, you should be. We strongly encourage being an APTA member. Yeah. One thing that I learned later on was that, you know, we have lobbyists sitting up on Capitol Hill. You know, our membership, I could be speaking wrong here, but I don't think our money can go to that. So that's
legally, I just found this out at CSM. And I wound up, I became an eagle. I gave $100 because, two PTA students came on. They were advocating for the PAC. And legally, your dues cannot go to advocacy.
Right.
Give money to the PT PAC.
Exactly, exactly.
So if you think, hey, I'm a member, I'm doing my part, you are doing your part being a member, but it legally can't go to the PAC.
But it really does speak to how vast and how much of a champion for our profession the American Physical Therapy Association really is. And Melissa can attest to this, you can attest to this, Jimmy, is that over the last 15, 20 years, to watch it grow, it's just, I mean, we surpassed membership
100K,
again.
100K, do it again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And we said this before, too, you know, talking with Justin Moore, I got to talk to him the day that the cap repeal came down. How cool of a conversation was that? I got to put that out. And, he, you know, it's something he's been working on essentially his whole career. If we stopped advocating for PT, you wouldn't notice that day. You wouldn't notice that week, maybe not even in a month, but you can't get that momentum back.
Right.
You'd notice 6 months from all of a sudden you turn around and be like, hey, how come something happened and I can't do anything about it? Remember that thing you bailed on like a year ago?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's you stopped moving that.
And I think that's the thing is we're not just fighting. Of course, they always say you're really working for your membership. But with physical therapy, they're working for everybody. And it's I don't know the numbers. I want to say it's like 10%. It's something crazy. The amount of physical therapists that are actually APTA members. It's
small. I think we're at a 33.
Okay.
Percent.
That's actually better than I thought.
Third, I think.
Well, and
we should ask the librarian. She would know.
We should ask the librarian. But the one thing people say when they say they're not members, it's all funding. That's what people say. So we need to show the value. We know to show the value as a profession.
That's the drum I want to bang is what you get out of it, which is what you should be thinking of. You know, I don't want to just say I write a check and I feel good. I want to get something out of it. And someone like Sharon Dunn and Justin, they want to be held accountable for your membership.
Sure.
All the time. Look, I called Sharon Dunn and said, hey, do you mind being on speakerphone at a debate? She was, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she's the kind of person who leads the way by saying, sure, I'll do whatever you need.
Well, it's little things, too, that maybe not have showed up, but we did prepare for this, for the
Oxford. We did.
And one of the things I went back and looked at was the Movement Systems Summit that they had in 2016, and there was a lot of work put in there. Some great minds came together to think tank movement system and how, if that's going to be our message, that we are the experts in movement science, how do we not just do that, but then integrate that into education, into service? And that's something, that's just another piece that APTA gives.
And into marketing as well. We want our clients, we want the public to know that we are movement scientists, we are the movement experts, and so the APTA helps with that, pushing us that next step. It's not just that we know how to do it and that we show that we can do it, but we need the world to know that we can do it too.
So maybe there should be like some sort of physical therapist who also has a communications background who joins the APTA and helps out or something like that.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
The show is brought to you by Arius Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Arius, and I do on the show, because they've supported us from the start. But what Arius does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients where you want to do it, and get paid for it. AURUSmedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Benefits go with it. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AURUSmedical.com. The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Appreciate you guys coming out for this. You know, you don't have to do this. You know, I know it's why someone like you guys go into education, is because you like doing this. That's kind of like more part of the deal. So last part of the show is parting shots.
This is the parting shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. The Brooks IHL hosting their third annual scholarly symposium. That's on May 19th in Jacksonville, Florida. Chad Cook is the keynote speaker. The day's filled with evidence-based scholarly activities. You do not want to miss it. Register today at brooksihl.org.
What's one thing you'd leave with the audience, something they should pay attention to?
So my parting shot, I am a professor of physical therapy, and I've been out, and I was a student 10 years ago, and my biggest thing would be to tell students to find a mentor, to talk to a professor, to talk to a clinician, to talk to somebody, and to talk to them more than just, you know, hey, I want to talk about my grade. To go out and have a coffee and say, what do you do? To find a mentor is really meaningful to our profession as a whole. So we talk about mentorship. It's so important, and you'll become a better clinician if you have really strong people that you can call up and talk about work-life balance or talk about some random case that you're having trouble with. So find a mentor.
Who is your mentor? You sound like you got somebody in mind.
I have so many mentors. I have so many wonderful people that have taken me through my career. And one of the people actually talked at the conclave today, Karen Tardick.
Yeah.
And she was my first mentor in my residency program at Duke when I did the pediatric residency. And she just... an amazing therapist, an amazing pediatric physical therapist, but an amazing person. So just that work-life balance, talking about how she got to where she was. So I learned from so many of my mentors, so many different things. And now I have some great teaching mentors as a teacher, as an educator. So at this point, I'm still accumulating mentors.
Doesn't stop.
And it's strange when I'm actually accumulating mentees now. I have students come to me, so... It's a cycle.
Yeah,
it's
that's
nice.
Great. Pay it forward. All right, what do you got? Parting shot.
Yeah, so I think for me, it's always don't be complacent.
this really goes out to the wonderful students that were there today. Always ask why, always ask how. You know, I brought up there, you know, I'm on the generalist side, but I am a specialist. I have my FAMP. AAMPT is an amazing, amazing association, and they have started to transition into just more science and really asking why, asking how. It's a great organization, but I think that it evolves, and all our associations evolve because we ask why, we ask how. We don't accept just because we're taught that that's the way it is.
This is how we've always done it.
And I was not afraid to say it today. That's what frustrated me with my professional association early on. Was that it was all about this pathoanatomic mess. Now let's ask why, let's ask how. And our students have to understand that just because even I or some of these great professors here at Duke and Elon, just because they say it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the rule, the rule of the law. It's like there may be some truth to it, but that truth will evolve. And you have to be the one that is kind of a steward for your patient. That means always asking why, always asking how.
Yeah, a great guy that I look up to, Eric Mera, said, you know, you always watch the smartest guy in the room, maybe at a debate or maybe just at a discussion at something like CSM. If you say, this is what we know now, this is what I think, this is what we know now, it kind of leaves you open for like, hey, science might discover that this isn't actually what we thought. Because I've heard other, you know, great, you know, parting shots on this. If you practice the same way for 20 years, at the end of that 20th year, you're probably committing malpractice because you know infinitely more at that 20th year than you did year zero. Yeah. Appreciate you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're not an expert if you've worked and practiced the same way for 20 years. If you keep questioning, if you keep looking at what your practice is, you become an expert as you mold and change and evolve.
Yeah, love that. Wonder Woman, Corey, appreciate you guys taking the time to
talk. Thanks, Jimmy. Great job today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll get them next year, all right, guys?
Yeah, we will. Right. We got this.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present.
Our lawyers made us read that.